Welcome back to another episode of Talking Moto. Today we have East versus West Shootout Indianapolis to talk about. And of course, we had some more drama go on, a little bit in both classes. But we will jump right here into qualifying. I'm just going to do 250 qualifying. I'm going to do it combined. And kind of just break it down as we go through this here. So Hayden Deegan was the fastest qualifier. Kind of interesting in my eyes to see a guy from the West, 250 rider from the West, come east to Indy. Very ruddy track, dirt, everything about Indy. Ruddy, soft. Everything the 250 West guys have been riding is very hard pack, not super ruddy. And then he comes in, qualifies fastest with a 49.044. And Seth Hamaker, second with a 49.288. And then we will look at the points leaders. Just the points leader for the East, because Deegan is the points leader for the West. Points leader for the East coming into Indianapolis, though, was Max Anstey. He qualified fourth with a 49.946. And my pick of champion, Tom Viel, fifth, rounding out the top five in qualifying with a 49.956. What I think is probably the most interesting part of this qualifying is Austin Faulkner qualified sixth. Easily his best result he's had in qualifying, I do believe. So hopefully he's starting to find himself a little bit and start to really just kind of figure out that new bike that he's on the Triumph. Obviously, we know that they they got their first Supercross win a couple weeks ago in Glendale with Jordan Smith. So the bike is capable of it. And hopefully Austin Faulkner coming back from the crazy injury and brain surgery that he had to have, hopefully he's starting to figure it out and we start to see some of that old Austin Faulkner speed. I know going into Indy at press day, he did talk about how his results don't quite show or echo how he's been riding and how he feels. He said he feels good. He's riding good. He's fast during the week. It's just little things on the weekends, just tip overs. Kind of hate to say it, but also kind of just typical Austin Faulkner stuff on the weekends. Seems like he finds the ground almost just as much as Chase Sexton has found the ground lately. And that's never a good thing. Something interesting else here. Flip two words there. Something else interesting here is RJ Hampshire qualified in combined all the way down in 12th with a 50.361. So he was just over a second off the pace, but that just shows how crazy and deep this field is when we get the 250 guys going together. And I think just in general, or in total, we had, I think it was six Star Racing Yamaha guys. So we had Deegan, Davies, Anstey, that's three. Moseman, 4, Bennett, 5, Thrasher, 6. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, 6 Star Racing Yamaha guys out there. And that's still with one of them on the sideline in Pierce Brown. So there's a chance that, I don't know, Pierce Brown's injury updates, but there is a pretty solid chance that almost half the main event for the last East-West shootout in Salt Lake City, there's a chance 7 out of 22 of them are on the same team, which is just crazy, the amount of money that Star Racing Yamaha is spending. But that's neither here nor there. Obviously, coming into this race, they were doing something right, had the points lead in all three classes, 250 East, West, and 450. So I think that's probably good enough here on qualifying. Joe Shimoda qualified 8th, still coming back from the broken fingers that he suffered in round number 2. So now jumping into the heat races, we had the 250 West go first, which I didn't know how they were going to do it. I didn't know, because if Deegan was the fastest qualifier, usually the fastest qualifier is in heat number 2, so I didn't know if they would have West go 2, but they had West go first. So Deegan grabbed the hole shot, Michael Moseman, his teammate, right behind him, and Julien Bomer. I did forget to mention this in qualifying, or in the qualifying part of this, from his big crash that he had in, where was it? Was it Arlington? I do believe it was Arlington, right? He had a crash. Yes, he had a crash in Arlington. Took me too long to find. He got a shoulder injury from that. Didn't ride from that day until press day, the Friday before Indianapolis. And so that forced him into me looking at an ad here. Now we get through it. He qualified 7th. And he did not have a good start to his heat race. He was outside of the top 9 for a while. Well, not really a while, but long enough to kind of make me think this might be a long night for old Julien Bomer. But he did make the pass eventually. He had a little contact in the sand section with a bad shoulder to get into 9th. Ended up finishing the race in 7th. And Davies and Moseman were racing very hard. Once again, two of those Star Racing teammates that I mentioned in qualifying. All of this while Hayden Deegan just absolutely ran away with heat West. I must call it heat race number 1. With the West heat race, just straight up went out there, grabbed the whole shot, dominated, gets on the podium, and totally different person that we've seen from the last year and a half, from his rookie outdoors to that first SMX playoffs into last year. Very loudmouth, best way to put it, loudmouth. He's always had it. He's always talked his shit, and totally different in this heat race. He was just focused. Wasn't out there throwing shade. Usually if you think you'd see him win by 6-7 seconds in a heat race, he'd go up there and be like, he said it before, I just want to go out there and dominate these dudes. Totally different person this time. Totally focused on himself and not worrying about anybody else. But before that happened, Jet Reynolds straight up T-boned the ever-living you-know-what out of Hunter Yoder in the second-to-last turn, just completely took him out for that last spot. Something I was not expecting, especially in a heat race. I could see it in an LCQ, maybe even like last corner, but going into the little wall jump through the whoops and then the 180 left before the 180 left before the finish line. Was expecting maybe a solid block pass. Didn't get there in time to make a block pass. He got there in time to make a clean out pass, but he got his ninth place finish. Hunter Yoder did go on to the LCQ, win it. They interviewed him, and he said he's just got to be more careful next time. Wasn't expecting it with how he's just been flying by Jet Reynolds. Like, Jet Reynolds is sitting there. So a little bit of shade between old Hunter Yoder and Jet Reynolds. So now getting on to the 250 East heat race. I almost said main event. These East-West shootouts are kicking my butt here. Max Anstey goes out, grabs a hole shot. RJ Hampshire, bad combined qualifying time, I should say. He was on Anstey all race long. He seemed like he was faster than him. It's just he'd get up on his back tire, he'd make a little bobble, drop back a little bit, and then he'd work his way back up to that back tire, make another little bobble, drop back a little bit. Just wasn't able to make a pass. RJ Hampshire did have the fastest lap time of the entire race, with a 50.801, and Max Anstey's fastest was a 51.036. So RJ Hampshire was definitely moving. I really thought he was going to be able to make the pass on Max Anstey, just wasn't able to keep it under control and consistent long enough. But so yeah, Anstey wins. Hamaker third, my pick for the championship, like I said earlier. Tom Vielle, he got fourth place here. So we're just going back to back. Star racing. I'm saying not too much. I'm getting in my own dang head here. Almost did it again. Didn't do it. Max Anstey, another Star Racing Yamaha, goes out, grabs the hole shot, and gets the win. Holds off Hampshire the entire time. Nothing. No absolute cleanouts in this race. Pretty solid race from everybody. Max Voland. Shout out Max Voland with the two double hand brakes and clutch. Three levers, two hands. I don't know how he's doing it, but hey, he's doing it. Making main events in these showdowns. It's a lot cooler when they called them shootouts, but got a little too PG for that now. Anyway, it is now 250 main event time. And my guy, Tom Vielle, championship pick for the East, goes out, gets one of his classic Tom Vielle good starts, grabbed the hole shot. He did have Hamaker right behind him, who was able to grab the lead very early on in the race. Didn't take too long for Hamaker to do it. It was coming out of the, I guess, second turn. Just went inside, was able to get past Vielle, and Julien Bomaire also got a good start. So that put Vielle into second, Hamaker into the lead very early. And it was on for Hamaker at that point. Deegan, not the best start, not a bad start either. It was a sixth place start. Anstey was in around ninth. And that proved to be very big for Max Anstey, getting a bad start. Oh, we also had a little side note. Jet Lawrence in the booth to call this race with everybody's favorite Lee Diffie and Ricky Carmichael, who have not made any statements. I haven't seen anything from anybody on the whole Carmichael, Lee Diffie, Daniel Blair, NBC, Race Day Live, name the TV, anybody related to Supercross. I haven't seen a statement from anybody. So it is still kind of a one-sided story coming from Daniel Blair, but that is in the past, sort of. Probably not, to be honest, though. Yeah, so we had Jet Lawrence in the booth with them, and old Joe Shimoda got a little contact in on Hayden Deegan. And the reason I remember Jet was in the booth, because Jet said, "There you go," when Joe got a little contact in there on him. Yeah, Hampshire with a terrible start. Just kind of transition to him real quick out of the blue. Hampshire had a very bad start. He was around 15th on the opening lap when I first noticed him. I can go back here and see exactly where his name pops up. Never mind. No, I can't. Didn't have the graphic up in time. Yeah, he was around 15th, at least no better than 15th off the start. Might have been worse. But he was able to get around Anstey in the sand. Hampshire went on the inside for 6th. And I noticed, well, I didn't notice this, but they talked about it on the broadcast. But Tom Vielle had a very interesting line in the sand. He was going, exiting the sand. They had a little, I don't know if it's really kind of a, they were calling it a wall jump, but it didn't seem as steep or big as you would typically see a wall jump. But Vial had a line where there's a giant hole in front of that jump, pretty much the entire width of the track, except for maybe a foot and a half on the very outside where it was flat, and you could kind of get over it a little bit easier. Tom Vielle found that line, and it worked really good for him, worked good for Sexton in his main event, which we'll get to later, obviously. But that is something there, just smart racecraft, the veteran, well, maybe not so much super veteran, Supercross guy, but veteran in the championship mindset of Tom Vielle. It's probably a better way to put it. He's got probably the biggest championship brain and experience, most experience, biggest championship brain in the 250 class now, of winning his titles over in Europe in the MX2 class for the MXGP, two-time world champion over there before he came over here, obviously. And that just really helped his entire lap time, because it saved him probably a good quarter of a second, maybe, going through there. And he had to do it because Deegan was coming. There was a point where Deegan was probably around 3 seconds behind Vielle. And then Hayden was hitting a big quad all night, kind of messed it up, and it was after they came under the tunnel, and then that first rhythm section off the start, he screwed it up over, I don't know how to, he got to he under jumps it and then doesn't have enough time to stop, goes over the turn, over the berm and then has to squeeze underneath the safety nets that are on the outside. He lost probably about 10 seconds in that whole fiasco. So he went from just a couple seconds, probably 2-3 seconds, back to 13 seconds behind Tom Vielle. Then he got it back to 9 seconds, thought, okay, maybe a little late race charge, hoping he can get back to Vielle, maybe force a mistake late in the race. But then, I don't know if he made another mistake or just realized he couldn't do it, and then went back to 15 seconds down, where he ended in third. Seth Hamaker wins, Tom Vielle second, Deegan third, Hampshire four, Cole Davies, another strong ride for the young New Zealander rookie in fifth place. And then your points leader here on the East Coast, Max Anstey, finished seventh. And not a crazy big deal, you would normally think. But now he did lose the red plate to Tom Vielle. Only 1 point, so that's good. But that happening also brought Seth Hamaker into the fight with him getting the win. He's in third in the points now, only down 11. And RJ Hampshire, 1 point behind there, brought him even closer, down 12 in fourth place. And then Nate Thrasher rounds out your top five in points. So the bad start for Max Yule Anstey, old Max Anstey, proved to be very big. So we'll just get into the 250 big takeaways here. First one. Right off the start, like I mentioned, bad start for Max Anstey, was very costly, giving up the points lead. I'm going to see if I can find his points going into this race. It's not loading for me. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go see if I can find that, and I will be right back with that. Hopefully. Okay, we are back. I just did it for Anstey and Vielle because they were 1 and 2 going into this weekend, or into last weekend, I should say. Max Anstey did have a 6-point lead over Vielle going into the weekend, and then comes out being down 1 to Tom Vielle. So that just shows you how big and important these starts are. I think maybe even a little more when it's that ruddy, when mistakes can be very, very costly. And on the topic of mistakes, Hayden Deegan makes another big mistake, like I was just talking about, going off the track, doesn't crash or nothing, just goes off the track and loses 10 seconds with plenty of racing left. He definitely could have caught Tom Vielle and passed Tom Vielle. He was, I'm not kidding, 4 bike lengths behind Tom Vielle when the incident happened. So I think he honestly probably would have gotten him. But he did extend his points lead to now be 6 points over Julien Bomaire, with Juju finishing in 8th place in Indiana. So, another big mistake, but big picture, was still able to extend his points lead. And the last one, talked about a little bit earlier with the bad start for Max Anstey, getting a bad finish, losing the red plate. Tom Vielle, a lot like last year, little after Daytona. Last year gets his first win in Daytona, then goes to Birmingham, gets his second win. So Daytona, he turned it on last week, 2 weekends ago in Daytona. Turned it on again this weekend here in Indy. Comes out with the points lead, exactly like what happened last year. Anstey had the points lead weekend after Daytona in Birmingham. Anstey has the mechanical issue. Tom Vielle grabs the points lead and doesn't look back. This year, Anstey has the points lead, has a bad start. Vielle gets the points lead, and obviously only time will tell if he looks back or not this time. So it's going to be very, very interesting, especially with this weekend coming up that there's no races. Just had a little bit of a word salad while I was waiting for this computer to load here. And then when they come back, it will be east again for one more round, and then they head back west, going to Birmingham, Triple Crown this year. So that's going to be interesting. We're going to have we'll talk about what the plan is for next week at the end of this show. That was kind of it there, I guess, for the 250s. Yeah, I think that's really it, to be honest. Oh, Chance Hymus. Almost forgot. He had a very big crash coming over the bridge jump. Fades just a little bit too far to his right. Foot peg and back tire catches a tough block on the downside of it and ends up going flipping over. Wasn't able to finish the race. He ended in 21st. Interesting enough. Bring it back to the heat race. Ended in 21st, right in front of Jett Reynolds. So Jett Reynolds, aggressive in the heat race. And last in the main event, Hunter Yoder finished 18th in the main event. Okay, now I think we are all set here on the 250s, and we'll switch it over to the 450s now. Your fastest qualifier, coming off a Daytona win, kickstart Kenny with a 48.728, just barely edges out Malcolm Stewart with a 48.767. And then the guy that kind of everybody's looking at now at this point, Chase Sexton, qualifies third with a 48.784. So all the top three guys were in the 48.7s, and then Cooper Webb fourth with a 48.920. I talked about it going into Indy. Chase Sexton, yes, go qualify fastest. Go win your heat race by 5 seconds. You got to do it when the main event happens. And, I mean, he qualified third. We'll get into the heat race and main event when we get into the heat race and main event, I guess. Nothing else really crazy sticks out in my head here. Dylan Ferrandis looked good in qualifying, qualified seventh. Kind of a shame that now that I see Ferrandis qualify seventh, I'm like, hey, Ferrandis looking kind of good. So, yeah, I guess just not really gelling with the Honda like he thought he would. 450 heat number one, Now I can, we're back on the heat one, heat two, not east, west. Justin Hill, he was the fastest qualifier a couple weeks ago. Grabs the whole shot. Webb did make the pass in turn three, was able to get around him, and then in the sand, just kind of pushed the front end out, tipped it over, Hill back to the lead, and then about a lap or so later, in the sand again, Malcolm Stewart this time was able to make the pass over Justin Hill, who faded back to fifth place. Malcolm Stewart ended up winning by about 6 seconds over Barcia, Savacci, and then Cooper Webb. Webb also had a big crash in the whoops in qualifying. Something about Cooper Webb, big crashes, always seems to land just right on his back on flat ground. So he finished fourth place here in the heat. Thought maybe this week might be the week for Sexton to take advantage of Cooper Webb. Maybe not feeling 100%. Not able to go 100% and whatnot. Now on to 450 heat number two. Aaron Plessinger grabs the whole shot. Sexton right behind him in second. His sand section, it was intense. Had crazy lines. Bit a lot of the riders. A lot of guys went down in the sand. A lot of passes happened in the sand. Sexton was able to make the pass on Plessinger in the sand. And then a little bit later, it was kind of like it just a copy and paste, except for change. Sexton out with Dylan Ferrandis. Same thing happened to Plessinger in the sand. Ferrandis was able to get him. Ken Roczen was able to make his way to second. Sexton, 8.5 second win in the heat race. Maybe he's feeling a little something. Called it his hometown race. Qualifies third. Wins his heat race. Maybe Chase Sexton, hey, we're feeling it. We're in Indy. Maybe he can get it done. Steal the momentum back from Cooper Webb. Main event time. Justin Barcia. Justin Barcia. Grabs the whole shot. Kickstart Kenny, the guy who kind of owns Lucas Oil Stadium there in Indy. I think the stat was he won 4 out of the 8 races that he's been in that stadium. He swept a residency there in 2021. I believe, is that when they did the residency, I think? Let's go take a peek. So he had the victory in 2023, and then, yeah, 2021, Indianapolis, 1, 2, and 3. He went 1-1. And one. So, sucks to see the guy that, kind of like Cooper Webb in, Arlington, Jerry's World. Ken Roczen's got to have the same type of vibes when he's heading into the stadium there in Indianapolis. But he went down in turn number one. And then before the first lap was even done, Cooper Webb was able to make a pass on Barcia right before the finish. Cooper Webb never looked back. Cooper Webb goes on to win by 9 seconds on the podium. He calls it his one of his easiest races he's ever had, because once he got around Barcia, it was just smooth sailing, as smooth as you could get, especially through that sand and that whoop section where everyone in the 450s just started jumping pretty much from heat race number one. So yeah. Sexton, on the other hand, not too bad of a start. Not the best, not the worst. He was using the Tom Vielle line in the sand over the wall, like I mentioned, on the very far right side, outside part of it, I guess you can consider. He used that to get past Barcia. And then he was using it all race, said his entry point and inside, outside, and all that was kind of, it went away, but he was still using it, and he just didn't have enough speed. Going through sand, you got to have speed. Chase Sexton didn't have it, tipped over. Justin Cooper then was able to get by for his first podium of the year. So it went Cooper 1, Cooper 2, Chase 3. Got all the C's out there. Obviously, that was Cooper Webb 1 and Justin Cooper 2. Chase Sexton 3rd. And, I said his name like this in the beginning for a reason, but it was Justin Barcia. Back, not quite back to his old Bam Bam ways, but his training partner got a little bit of little Bam Bam-esque type of pass on him. What the heck? Where did it go? There we are. Where was this? Barcia goes in on the inside of Plessinger. Honestly, I don't really have a problem with the pass. He just kind of slides the rear wheel out. Nothing malicious. Plessinger goes down, was able to work his way back to fifth. Barcia in fourth there. Interesting part is they are training partners during the week. I haven't seen any reports of any fights going on at the Baker's factory, so that's obviously good. They showed him on the broadcast. I think it was on like the post-race show or maybe the very end of the broadcast. They were talking to each other. Professionals. They were both interviewed about it. Especially Plessinger was just like, yeah, it's Barcia. Little SOL there for AP. Nothing he could have done except for not put himself in that predicament. Maybe kind of try to hit the brakes and cut back up underneath Barcia. Probably would have been the only thing to do in that situation. But looking at it, obviously watching it in slow motion, I don't think Plessinger was really expecting it, because it looked like he tried to turn down early and Barcia was just already there. So Plessinger's front wheel was turned left already, trying to cut down early. And by time he turned left, it was into the rear wheel of Justin Barcia at that point. 450 takeaway. One of them was the whoop section. Big takeaway was just the fact that everybody started jumping through the whoops in heat race number one. It was an absolute disaster. Cooper Webb thrown off the side there in qualifying. Guys were going down. seemed like left and right in that whoop section. Chase Sexton, another costly mistake, costed him, what was this, 3 points? I do believe 20, whoops, that's the wrong, that doesn't make any sense in my head. There we go. Yeah, 3 points. There's about 17 flipping different columns on this graph that I was looking at. Got a little confused there. Sexton, another costly mistake, costing him 3 points. Now he's 15 behind Cooper Webb. And at this point, it's Cooper Webb's championship to lose. Sexton's going to have to hope on uncharacteristic mistakes from Cooper Webb. Maybe a mechanical, mud race, stuck in a tough block, bad start, stuck in the starting gate. Sexton did it. I don't think Cooper Webb's going to do it, though. I'm talking about getting stuck in the starting gate like Sexton did in Detroit. And Justin Cooper, big takeaway for him, second career podium. His first one was the last race of the season last year in Salt Lake City, with a second place there. So he ties his career best, 2 seconds, been on the podium twice with 2 seconds. He's only got one place to go, and that's to the top step. And if someone else is going to do it this season, I think at this point I'm flipping a coin between Justin Cooper and Aaron Plessinger. So big shout out to Justin Cooper getting his first podium of the season, second of his 450 career here. So now we head into an off weekend. No racing Saturday. Sad. Already upset about it. Was upset about it as soon as I woke up Sunday morning. So I think what I'm going to do next week is I think I'm going to do a little first half recap. And then at the end, we'll take a little peek into what's coming up in Birmingham. And the rest of this, that's not a proper English, and take a look at the rest of this season. Say it like a robot so I say it for you to understand me. So yeah, I think we're going to do a little halftime type of show, type of break action, whatever the heck you want to call it. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see where the rest of the season goes. So we'll figure out a fun little way to talk about the first half of this season and what I think will be happening in the second half. So I think that's another episode here for Talking Moto, Talking _ Moto on X. Like always, go give it a follow, retweet, repost, quote, comment, like, questions, all the good stuff. So yeah, here we are, halfway through. We'll have a little show next week, a little halftime. Very, very excited to see where this season takes us. Talking_ Moto on X. And I will be back next week. See ya.